prayer. The prayer life of Jesus. So I'm getting myself out of the way. Way back in the summer, my dad called, said he missed me. I came up to worship or to prayer on a Wednesday. The Lord says he misses you. And told the Lord, I talk to you all the time, but I still miss you. I want that intimacy built into stuff that's in your cup that's not of him. You want to get out, you know what I mean? So you get those things out. Penn State football came back into my life, buying into a man's word of how good they were going to be. And it needs to go to the side and keep filling up with the Lord instead of things of this world. All right, the main verse, and I've been walking the youth through this, is Exodus 33:18. And that verse is, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. And so I said, Lord, how do I find and get to this glory? And then he gave me this roadmap, and we've been walking with the youth for, 2 months now, walking through of being obedient. And there's so much in obedience. Somebody can come up here and speak a month just on being obedient. And obedience leads to unity, and that unity gives you courage and boldness, and then all of that put together, when you put that puzzle together, it ends up being God's glory, all right? So that's kind of like a little bit of review. I got about a page and a half of remembering things for the people that were here. Everybody say this, because there's like 4 or 5 points I'll hit today. We're going to get deep into Jesus' prayer life, hopefully, and it will, because the word will penetrate your hearts, and you will see where we fall short and where we can get better or where we're at, all right? So everybody say with me, prayer is essential. All right, prayer is essential, and prayer will show you your identity. The more time you spend with the Father, the more he's going to show you who you are, all right, and show you who he is. And my prayer for the last, I don't know how many months, years, or whatever it is, I want to know you and make you known. I want to know you, and the only way you're going to get to know him is how you're spending time with him. And when you're spending time with him, he's going to show you things. All right, and we talked with the youth this past Wednesday. How many of you guys are hearers of the word? You hear it, right? How many of you are doers of the word? So when you, James 1:22, it says being a doer of the word, not hearers only. And if you're just hearers only and you're not doers, you're deceiving yourself, right? If you hear, you can gain all this head knowledge, but if you're not applying the word, if you're not applying the word, nothing's going to happen. And you're going to want to know why the same cycle keeps repeating and repeating and repeating in your life. You have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. All right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. John 17:24. I said this scripture the last time. It says, Father, I desire. Say, I desire. That they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. So he has loved you before the foundation of the world. And if you keep reading and you keep reading some of this, and we'll get back to it here in a minute, what that whole scripture in John 17 is saying is, I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me, and I want you to behold my glory. He wants you to be with him, and he wants you to look at him, right? What happens when you take your eyes off of him? We sink, all right? If we sink, then we have to get our eyes back on him, and the same thing repeats in life. We take our eyes off of him, we sink. We take our eyes off of him, and we sink. Whose strength are you operating in? You want to operate in his, but if you keep taking your eyes off of him, you're operating in yours, all right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and what? Strength, all right? So sometimes I know I'm weak. I don't care if I'm the weakest person out there, because if I can rely on his strength, he is going to take me places. You hear me? All right. You know he's praying for you right now, and he wants you to see him. He wants you to see him. He's praying for you right now. I walk through some of my life, and I keep asking why these things keep happening, and I come up with Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Have you heard that one before? We suffer from it because we have a lack of knowledge. So how do we get more knowledge? We study. We get in the word. All right? here's something I like because I'm very, very, very competitive. I just had to take this aptitude test for Ivy Tech, and they put me into this leadership academy, and you're going off your top five, and belief was number one, which is great because that's where you stand on your principles and your morals. But number four was competitive. You believe that? Yeah, competitive. So when you're in competition with who? Yourself, all right? Because the competition is what? Evil, good. Good, evil. I want to help, Steve, I want to help you fill up heaven, all right? I want to help you fill up heaven. That's the competition, all right? We're not in competition with one another, are we? No, we are. We're good, all right? We're together. We're unified. Yes. Sonny, we're a team, right? All right. Danielle, we're a team, right? All right, I'm not going to look over there. She's going to be like, sometimes. You're not going to get to know everything all at once. That's why you got to study and find yourself approved, right? You got to study and find yourself approved. But if you get connected to the one who knows everything, he's going to give you what you need to know at that time. So the more and more you dive into that. And prayer gets you into his presence, doesn't it? Prayer gets into his presence. And as we witness worship up here sometimes, or we experience it, it's all about his presence. Because when his presence falls, I asked Lance probably a month ago in Caneo, I was like, when his glory really falls here, are you going to be able to handle it? And he said, absolutely. I was like, what if it took you quitting your job? I'll quit my job. I said, I'm with you. Because he's going to take care of everything else. So when that happens, all right, can we handle it? Yes, we can. We have to be ready for discipleship. So what's your guys' job? Be prepared, all right? Be ready for discipleship. All right, get in your word, knowing who Jesus is, so you can spread that too, okay? So God's prayer life for you is to be set on fire, right? Pure, holy, blameless, spotless, trusting him, loving his leadership, and then to know him, and all he has is yours. I know this is a kind of a secular kind of a thing. Remember an old movie called Trading Places? Come on. We've seen it, right? Do you remember the part where Eddie Murphy, I don't know his character's name, it just came back to me last night, so I was here thinking about it. I was like, that's such a good analogy, even though it's of the world, but it's an analogy, where they put him up in this mansion, and he was a bum from the street. Now he's in this mansion, and he's sitting there, and they're telling him everything around him is his, and he keeps doing this, putting gold stuff in his pockets and stealing stuff. Right, and he keeps stuffing it in there and stuffing it in there. He's even walking around and saying, well, even this is mine. Yes, it's yours. And this is mine. Yes, it's yours. And he still kind of steals it. So he goes, even this vase is mine. So even if I broke it, it'd be okay. Well, yeah, it's yours. So he slams it and tries to juggle around, but it drops on the floor. But it's yours. When we understand that Jesus took our place and now everything he has is ours, you get me? Everything he has is ours. So if we can start walking in that identity, this church, along with the other churches that can grab hold of who he is, we are going to be set on fire, all right? We got to know that we're already holy because of him. We're blameless because of him, right? We have to have that relationship with him. And so, how do you do that? If you're just, I remember being this little baby Christian, and you're working your way up. I am nowhere where I want to be. And so you study a little bit to find yourself approved, to know more about him. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't he? Okay, so study the commandments. I already mentioned them, a couple of them. The most two important, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor. How many times do you guys go through a week where it's sometimes hard to love your neighbor? It is. It's sometimes hard. But how do you learn? You study diligently God's word. He tells you in 2 Timothy 2:15. All right, let me pray just to get out of the way. And Father God, I just totally surrender myself right now. First and foremost, I would just like to give you thanks and honor you for giving me the floor today to just deliver your word. I want everything that comes out of my mouth to be edifying, to build up your body of believers, Father God. And I just surrender my tongue, my thoughts, and my heart over to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All right. I believe the biggest impact that Jesus made on his disciples besides the cross, was they got to witness his prayer life. They walked with him for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And they got to witness it. And they got to see him in Mark 1:35. It says, early in the morning. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He made prayer a priority. He made prayer a priority, all right? So early in the morning, he's fulfilling and showing you Matthew 6:33. He's seeking who first? He's seeking God first, and then everything else was given to him, right? What it was. Everything else was given to him. He seeked him first. He was showing you the perfect example, and what a perfect example he is to follow, all right? I know Paul said, if you can't be like Christ, be like me. I said this the last time. Sometimes you don't want to follow me. I'm not a very good example. Sometimes I'm great. Sometimes not so much. I hope the good outweighs the bad. It just is what it is. You know, he built you guys like a tabernacle. All right? He built you like a tabernacle. Your body is the temple. The holy place is your mind, your will, your emotions. Stand up a little bit. Put your hand on your belly. All right? Put your hand on your belly. You guys need to know this. This is truth. And say, hello, Holy Spirit. All right? If you have been given your life to Jesus, that Shekinah glory is right here. All right? You're a temple. That Shekinah glory is right here. You're built like a tabernacle. We need to know that. All right? God built you like that tabernacle. He designed you for union. You guys can sit down. Thank you. You're in him. You hear me? You're in him. You hear me, David? You're in him. You're in him. You're not trying to get to him. You're in him. You're in him, all right? So many of us lack knowledge of and understanding. We need to understand that we've been reading in Kineo the book about power and authority. It's a good reminder to read at least once a year, because sometimes you get caught up in other things. Your cup gets full of other things, but you need to be a reminder. I keep telling anybody I can talk to about it. Bait of Satan and the one we're reading right now, Womack book. It's two books to read throughout the year, all right? Most important right here, right? Most important right here. But it's a good reminder of two books to read every year. It just gives you to knowing your power, your authority, and then also not taking offense, because mankind's going to let you down, right? I just repented for being a football fan again, so that needs to go to the wayside. It was good 5 or 6 years of complete silence and no worry, and when you pick it back up, it lets you down again. So many of us have been knocking on a door into a room we're already in. We're like, Jesus, let me in. Trying to get in, trying to learn you more, trying to get to learn more about you. If you're in him, you're already in that room. You're already in that room. Now you have to ask him, all right? Ask him for the other stuff that he wants to give you, because it's all there, right? The healings, everything that he wants, the power, the authority, you already have it in him. He has given it all to us. All right, back to Mark 1:35. A little bit of before that. Jesus was in revival till about midnight, and then he wakes up around 3:30 in the morning, and he goes to pray. The second person of the Trinity, whom everything was made, was praying. I said this, and every time I say it, it doesn't sound so weird anymore. God prayed to God. Do you hear that? It don't sound so weird anymore when you understand. You understand everything. He lived dependent on the Father. How many of you want to get there? Living dependent on the Father. Upholds itself. He upholds itself in prayer, the cosmos. He threw himself at the Father early in the morning. Say it with me one more time. Early in the morning. How many of you, and I've asked the youth this, how many of you wait till midday or till something happens? Oh, hi, God. He should be a priority in the morning. And I tell you, it will change your life, all right? Prayer is the statement to the humble ones. It says in Philippians 2 that though he was in the form of God, he didn't consider it something to be held on to, but he made himself of no reputation. He came in the likeness of man, and didn't strut in his divine privileges, but he lived dependent on the Father. You know, Jesus prayed. You hear me? Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed a lot. All right? Jesus prayed a lot. Luke 5:16. Luke 5:16. Just to get there. It says he went himself often, withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Say often. So he got up early and he went often to pray. I believe it's the call of every person, and not just because it's me. I wish I got to bed like this time every night. But I think it's the call of every person to get to bed by 10 o'clock and wake up at 5:30. No? 6? I'd be okay with 6. But you know why I say that? What do you repent from most of the time? Things that happen after 10 o'clock? Traffic? Do you hear me? How many of you stay up doing stuff past 10 o'clock? And that's the things you're repenting from the next day. Or you can't go to sleep. All right? Are you tired? Let me ask you several times. Are you tired of spending all your prayer time saying sorry to God? Like a Britney Spears song, "Oops, I Did It Again." Right? Anybody there? You spend your time apologizing to God, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." It's been part of my life, not so much anymore. I was tired. You'll have to get there. You just get tired of the same things. You get tired of the cycle and the wheels spinning and you don't get anywhere. So, when all my prayers are just saying, "God, help me," this is the part I'm talking about. Please show me your glory. I got tired of the wheels going to the same place, same location, back to the same thing, back to the same thing. And that's called insanity. I know we've said it up here 1,000 times. Seeing God early in the morning answers 1,000 questions. It solves 1,000 problems. And it makes your day, right? It really does start your day off well. All right, what's he doing? If you're going and you get a little bit bolder and you start asking him, you're going to ask the Lord or Holy Spirit, "Take me to the throne room. I want to hear what the Father's saying." The Father's going to give you some direction for the day. He may even point out a blessing of something that's going on in somebody else's life, and then you can just shock them. How did you know that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what a good witness that is. It's happened a few times. So Jesus prayed early in the morning. So if you guys want to get really radical, start waking up early in the morning. You want to get radical? Wake up early in the morning. You know what else works in prayer? You see it several times with Jesus, being thankful. Being thankful. I can count 4 scriptures I was looking up. Jesus gives thanks. He gives thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Thanks to the Father. How many of you are tired of complaining? What does complaining get you? 40 years in the wilderness? Yeah, same old circle. Here's another good thing. You don't have to be smart to pray. All right? Can anybody say I qualify? Yeah, you don't have to be smart to pray. You don't. You don't have to be rich. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor. You don't have to have any giftings. You don't have to have any special abilities about you. There's nothing unique that makes you applicable to pray. It's just one revelation. Lord, I need you. I need you. And once you realize that he's going to you supply all your what? Needs, right? Not all our wants. He's going to supply all our needs. God, I want to know you in prayer. I want to know you. That I miss you from my dad and I miss you from my heavenly Father. Just makes... I pray I want to know you. I want to know you. And if you discover God in prayer, he will take care of everything else. It's proven with Jesus' ministry in Matthew 6:33. So Jesus prayed often, and he prayed early, right? Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. and you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in your sight. David, come here. Show me your joy. There we go. Jesus prayed in joy. Right? How many of we don't pray in joy? We always pray with. All right. I want to show a video. It's about 4 minutes long. I love the skit, guys. It's funny, and then it gets serious.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and love and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit. When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom. And so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs. And that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps. And she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
I may be related with one of those characters in there, right? I've been all of them. The how now brown cow. When you don't know what to say, you pray in the Spirit. You really do. I know I fall asleep at night. Me and the Lord are having a conversation. I know I fall asleep on Him every night, but that's a good thing. I'm falling asleep in His presence, in His peace. Danielle keeps telling me I snore. I still don't hear it. Haven't heard it yet. I don't. All right. Luke 22, verse 39. If you put that on the screen. Luke 22, 39. Did I give it to you? No, I'm flipping to it. There we go. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. Verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. When he came to that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. How many of you, when you say the Lord's Prayer or throughout your day, pray to God that you do not enter into temptation? Because temptation is out there. Sin is crouched at the door waiting to see who it can devour. If we're asking the Lord to and praying that we do not enter into temptation, will he honor that? Yes, he will, all right? So until you get a prayer life stronger than your temptation, until you get a spirit of prayer on your life, you can build real realities, and it actually leaves the ramp with you. And this comes back to doing the same cycle over and over and over again. Is that what Jesus died for us, to continue the same old cycle? No, he didn't. All right? So that we have to come to him and do maintenance and repairs and modifications and be able to deal with it, life situations. Life's going to happen, yes. We should go to him first. But he did all this so we could walk in power and authority, right? We have to grab hold of that power and authority. And I'm still learning it. I'm not there. I'll never be perfect. I understand that. But if I can just be a little bit better than yesterday, a little bit closer than 5 minutes ago, I'm going to be able to. And he's going to throw these opportunities where somebody's going to need a word, all right? And if I'm relying on the Holy Spirit at all times throughout the day, he's going to give you that word for somebody, and that word's going to change their lives. Darlene, you don't know, you said something probably months ago, and I don't recommend praying for patience, but she said something about, you're so patient now, back there in the sound room. You did say that, didn't you? And I'm like, patience works. Now be patient in other opportunities, and patience is a fruit of the Spirit. All right, he wants you to tap you into a power source to get you to breakthrough. And I promise you, once you tap into that power source and you start doing these early in the mornings, praying often, all right, praying in joy, all right, when things come upon us, what does the book of James say? Count it all pure joy. Pure joy, all right? Even when we have afflictions coming at us, pure joy. What are you trying to show me, Lord? What am I supposed to be learning, all right? You're going to walk me through something that I'm supposed to learn, that I can be stronger than I was 5 minutes ago, that I was yesterday, that you're going to help me help somebody else as I walk through this situation. All right, Luke 22, 39 through 44. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed to, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. How far is a stone's throw? I think Lance or somebody just preached this. How far can you throw a stone? Probably meet a Steve, right? I always read this until you read every word, every dot and tittle has a meaning. He's a stone's throw. He could see his disciples. Do not get led into temptation, okay? He knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Do you know you have angels that can strengthen you? Did it just strengthen Jesus? All right. Angels get weird on some subjects. Depending on your circle, you can't do that. When loved ones die, they don't become angels. I wish you guys could see that. When I see that on Facebook, I'm like, I wish they knew. I just wish they knew. It's not worth starting a debate or something when somebody had a death of a loved one, but they didn't turn into an angel. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The more Jesus was cut, the more we're trying to be like Jesus, the more life cuts us. What did Jesus do? He retreated to prayer. He retreated to prayer. Did it say he retaliated? No, he retreated to prayer. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right? Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. How many of you would have loved to seen Lazarus come out of the grave? Would that have been awesome? All right. How many of you would have liked to seen the demons come out of Legion? That's kind of weird, but you know, who would have loved to have seen the prophetic ministry at the woman at the well? About the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe you'd like to have seen that. What about him feeding the 5,000? Right? You can see it. Sonny's taught me, go to it. He'll take you there in your dreams, in visions. He'll show you, all right? But think about this. I'm going to play a role of Jesus right now. I've fallen short. But for 3.5 years, you walked with me. You walked with me. And not just what was written in Scripture. We had campfire talks. We walked from city to city. You asked questions in the morning. You asked questions at night. And I answered them. And then the book of John says there's so much that it can't be fit in books. There's all those campfire talks. There's all those other things. They were close to him. And you can be just as close. You just have to surrender and get into prayer. Right? You just have to surrender and get into prayer. Here's the point. They were walking in revival for 3.5 years. Not one time did they say, Jesus, teach us how to preach. Not one time. They never asked him, teach us how to heal. Not one time. Never asked, teach us to do miracles. They never asked, teach us to do prophecy. Never asked how to do deliverance. They never asked A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you keep on going on. What did they ask? Teach us how to pray. Why? For 3.5 years, Jesus' public life of ministry was a result of his private life of prayer. Right? Do you hear me? His public ministry was a result of his private life of prayer. So say this with me. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So you get in the word and you start praying his word back to him, and then you pick up other scriptures. If you pray his word, it won't return to him void. Right? It's going to be alive and it's active, and it's going to do the purpose that it was sent out to do. All right. Do people want your ability or your prayer life? I asked this the last time. Darlene did homework and she remembered 10 promises and wrote them down. She showed me Sonny's that Tuesday night. But does anybody want your prayer life? It's a hard question. Do they want your prayer life? I would look at Sonny and was like, I want Sonny's prayer life. Out of anybody sitting in here, and how did you get there? If I got to interview you, how did you get there? Yeah. It's on.
Yeah, I made a determination to do it. One of the things that scriptures that I really relied upon is Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. And so I just made it a habit to get up early in the morning and spend time in prayer before I did anything else.
And he has shown up and shown off. Exactly. All right. So, and I will tell you, whenever I adopted that, He is true to his word, all right? If you do seek him early, and I've been going over promises with the youth, every time one pops up, I throw it out there. If you're seeking him first, all these other things will be added to you. It's proof in Jesus' life. It's proof in Sonny's life. I'm telling you, it's becoming proof in my life. If you humble yourself and you seek him first, there's nothing else more important. There is nothing else more important. I can't say that enough. All right, do atmospheres change when you start talking to God? If not, find out how. Find out why. Can atmospheres change when you start talking to God? No man is greater than his prayer life. No woman is greater than her prayer life. Prayer is the place hidden of intimacy and oil and life and flow friendship where veils are removed. I mean, you've had the Lord shown you and veils are removed. It's because you have that intimacy. Travis, back there raising his hand. Got anything you want to say about it? No? Good. We spend so much time trying to get into different groups, trying to get into this group and trying to get into that group to find an identity. God is trying to invite you into a friendship with himself. He is. I know I'm speaking to a very, very, very loving church. Most of you I've seen for a long, long time here, some new faces. So sometimes you just need to hear some things over and over again. That's why I recommend reading those two books, because sometimes you just need reminded, all right? He knows you. How long did it take you to get past the awkwardness? There's awkwardness in front of people when you're praying. You don't remember. I've asked this question on Tuesday at Jim Pond's. How long did it take you to get past the awkwardness? Because he asked, why does everybody always come to me? Because you're the one we know that prays. All right, where there's prayer, there's power. You're hooked to the source. I don't get hooked to the source, so I come to you for that power. Well, you know what? That power is available for you too. Jim, I don't need to come to you anymore. I'm hooked. I'm plugged in. My reception's good. My antenna I don't need to stand like this with my tongue out. Because he's taught me how to pray, to have fellowship and relationship with him. And everybody can do the same, all right? He knows the weird parts of you, and that's what he loves about you, because he made you. You hear me? You're not weird. You're unique. You are, all right? He longs for intimacy. We keep looking for that group to notice us or that group to notice us. There's an invitation by the living God, and sometimes that's not enough. I don't want to go on any distractions, but we got to get that vision. Teach us how to pray. Say it one more time with me. Teach. You can only take people where you've been. All right? You can only take people where you've been. If I have zero experience in that, I'm looking to Lance. I'm looking to Sonny. You know what I mean? I'm looking to other people. But now I want to experience that. All right? But if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not going to. He can only take me where I've been. All right? But now I've been. I think I've seen a lot. There's probably stuff that's going to come up. But I have one more question. Does anybody want your prayer life? That should be convicting or rejoicing in that question. Does anybody want your prayer life? Your growth is there, all right? I used to call it my quiet time, all right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say quiet time. What's it call it? Secret place, all right? Teaching you how to shut the door, and Matthew 6:6 always comes up, how to connect to your Father in that secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly, right? You learn how to build a closet and go to a place and become a place. You learn how to abide. There's one of the big things. We need to learn how to abide, right? If we don't learn how to abide, we're never going to be anything until we learn how to abide. You learn how to live in two places at once. And I don't see this in myself. I'm the biggest critic of myself. But Daniel says sometimes when you're not acting 14, there's a switch that flips. And it's all him, all right? You know when the switch has got to flip, all right? There's times to be, the childless stuff needs to fall away. But can I get an amen there? All right, childless stuff needs to fall away. And hallelujah, he's growing and growing and growing you. And some of that old stuff is falling off. But the switch needs to flip. You've got to be in constant thought of him and be ready for the situations in front of you. All right? Did you know that when he was talking, the guy that had, how many have 700 and 754, 45 things on his prayer list. I don't want to step on any toes, but how many of you have prayer lists? Okay, I don't want to step on any toes because his reasoning and your reasoning may be way off. But if we spend our prayer time on 745 things, you don't have that long of a prayer list. You know my prayer list is? I write it down because I won't remember. There's my prayer list. And when somebody says, hey, I need prayer, do you wait or do you pray right there? Right. Charlie Kirk got killed, what, a month ago? Me and Danielle were talking about it on the way to eat before youth. I felt the need in the car. And we don't do this very often. I said, I just feel the need. Stop right now and pray. I don't know what I prayed. Everybody was praying for peace and all this other stuff. Linwood was out there waiting for her to come into prayer. He was an hour early. You know what we should have been praying that day? Resurrection. All right? How many of you went there? Nobody? I didn't see very many. But shouldn't our thought been, hey, let's raise him from the dead? We have that power. We have that authority. Why don't we go that route? And I was like, am I the only one? I'm like, does Jesus have the power to raise people from the dead? Sure he does. Why didn't we go there? So that's all I want to say about list. Don't make them too long. Don't make it about you, all right? God's saying, enough about you. Let's talk. You hear me? So if I did an example, I get a piece of paper and I'm writing some things down. This is meant to be a little bit funny. Uncle Johnny, I'm praying for Uncle Johnny. Uncle Johnny needs to save. Aunt Betty needs delivered. Lord, I need money. Did you hear me? Lord, I need money. I'm always praying for things and praying for things. But hey, Lord, I need money. Right? When you start plucking your ears and you start listening to him, did you tithe? Did you give an offering? How are you spending your money? Are you blowing it on nonsense? Are you using it for the kingdom? Because he blesses in several ways, right? If you spend your money right. And by the time you're done with the list, God says, give it to me. And he said on there, we look at him like he's Santa Claus, right? And that's not the attitude to have. There are some people that get that narcissistic, can he say it? That narcissist behavior, and they use this like sugar daddy God. He's not a sugar daddy, right? He's not. He's loving, he's caring, and he will meet all your needs, right? Not all your wants, but all your needs. By the time you get done with that list, that's your reward. You're holding it up. That's it. So let me drop that before I go too deep into it. So Jesus came to what? To show us the Father, right? This is touchy. I preached on this a little bit at the prison, and this is a touchy one. He came to show you Abba. He did, all right? To show you who he was. Some of us have prayer problems because we have problems with the word Father. So let's touch those right now, okay? Some of us have problems with fathers, the emotions that trigger, and we can heal that today. Keep that in mind, all right? You had abusive fathers. You had absent fathers. You had emotionally present fathers, emotionally absent fathers. You had vindictive, manipulative, lying, broken promises, cheating, can't trust, can't provide. And then you bring all of these things when we say the word father and it triggers you. If that's you today, let's take care of it when we get done, all right? Or we can take care of it right now. Does anybody have a problem with the word father? Does it trigger anything? All right, good, because it triggered some stuff at the prison, right? It does, and then you pray for them, and you get that release, so that's good. And Jesus goes, I need you to know, if you're going to grow in prayer, I want to bring you, this is where I went, I want to bring you in to the spirit of adoption. When you understand the spirit of adoption, I want to adopt every one of you, right? So, how many people in here saved, right? We're all adopted in. We're all adopted in. That means all the benefits that I've been talking about this whole time. Travis, you adopted? You're really adopted. Twice. So Jesus is saying, I have come to bring my dad here, because, and he's becoming your dad. And you get to know this. This is why prayer is hard for some of those people. It's because you see God wrong and you don't feel safe. And there's other aspects, okay? You don't feel confidence to come when it's hard to be alone. But I want to know that the spirit of adoption is the spirit of prayer. So everybody say Abba. Abba. He is the inexhaustible storehouse of glory. When I'm saying show me your glory, he's an inexhaustible storehouse of glory. He's absolutely stunning. The Father's house is the house of prayer. It's acceptance and inheritance. He wants to break orphanhood off a generation. He really does. All right. Go with me to John 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also may glorify you. Pause right there. What did it say? Go back to Eric. Lifted his eyes to heaven. All right, I'll teach you something else. I know I learned this from Sonny. Do you know that Jesus didn't close his eyes while he prayed? He did not. What's it say he did? He looked up. He looked up, all right? Here's another problem that I've seen people, because he wasn't imagining somebody in mind's eye. When we close our eyes, do you start seeing other things? Could you? But when you're looking up and you're focused, it's when he got baptized. He's looking up and he's praying. There's other parts of scripture, because there's 175 times just in the four gospels he's teaching, talking, or praying, right? We don't get to hear all his prayers. We get John 17, which is awesome. Going to get an amen. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I thank you. There's worth being thankful. Comes back in prayer that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. He said, Lazarus, come forth. About 26 verses. 26 verses of those disciples watching Jesus do this right at the sky. All right, back to John 17. Verse 2. As you have given him authority over all flesh, and that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have been given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself and with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Pause right there. And the disciples watched him, and they watched him talk to the Father. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't quiet time. It was Hebrews 4:12. It was breath. It was life. It was bone. It was marrow. He was securing those disciples by the power of his words. They watched and they watched. Teach me how to pray. They didn't ask anything else. Teach me how to pray. And so securing the disciples by the power of that word. So what I love about Jesus' high priestly prayer, Father, they were yours and you gave them to me and I kept them. And I kept them in your name. Do you know what Jesus' biggest bragging right? His biggest bragging right is keeping you. Keeping you. Who got away? One, because it was written when Judas got away. But it was written. It fulfilled prophecy. Okay? So he's lost nobody else. So if I'm telling you, if you're in him, you're in him, right? He's going to keep you. You hear me, David? He's going to keep you if you're in him. But you have to be in him. Put Luke 22:31 on the screen. Excuse me. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. So when Satan came for me, he asked me if I sift you like wheat. I told him, this is Jesus saying, take your best shot. I prayed for you, all right? Everybody look around the room. Look around the room. What if I knew everybody in here's full story? Everywhere you've been. Everything life has taken you and not taken you. All your ups, all your downs, all your disappointments, all your excitement, all that good things in life, all the bad things in life. And then I have a question for you. How are you here? How are you here? Why are you not dead under a bridge? Why are you not shacked up with where you were shacked up before? Why are you not high? Why are you not drunk? Why are you here? How are you here? Right there. Because Jesus prayed for you. He's praying for you. All right? When Satan tried to sift you early, and this is me going through my life, when he tried to use that divorce to turn my heart against God, it was 7 years. Still loved him. Still loved him a lot. Still talked to him every day, but I wanted nothing to do with church, right? For 7 years. And then miracle happened, all right? When Satan tried to get pornography in there early, right? Jesus was praying. When he came in with rejection from your dad or rejection from a parent, right? He came in early on that, right? Jesus was praying. He seen the big picture, all right? And it makes no sense that your heart's tender and that you love him and that you want him. And that's the power of prayer, all right? It's the power of prayer. We're here. It's amazing. And it goes back to Hebrews 7:25 says he forever lives to make intercession for you. You have a full-time intercessor always praying for you. He's always praying for you. And since he always lives to make intercession, the work that he started in you, what scriptures say, he's going to complete it. He's going to complete it. All right? Everybody say in heaven. Almost done. Right? I said, we was talking a minute ago, and I was like, well, we'll eat by 2. All right, I'll get you out before 1, maybe. 12:30. All right. So everybody say, in heaven. Hebrews, when you start reading the book of Hebrews, I watched a long Jack Hibbs breaking down the book of Hebrews, and you read Hebrews, it's all about throne room. Throne room. Throne room, throne room, throne room. All right? So start looking up. Stop looking at your phone and talking to each other all the time. We go and we look. AI's got this new thing where you can ask it to be your doctor or your counselor. Are you going to trust it? All right? Other things that we go to the phones for. I'm grateful that counselors have places and therapists. It's great. How many of you go out to coffee and talk with your friends? You unload your problems, and then nothing really happens. Your faith hasn't really grown any. All you did was feel a little bit empty, or your cup's a little bit more full of junk. You hear me? All right, so who's the best therapist? All right? Holy Spirit, your 1,000 hours of coffee isn't going to get you breakthrough. You know what's going to get you breakthrough? Surrendering and getting on your knees and letting him have it all, right? You got to let him have it all because he wants it all because he's done paid for it. He's done paid for it. So there's a place you have to carve out with God where you rise up, where you break off, and you start praying. And I know it's hard, all right? How many of you know about empty rooms and tongues? This is Romans 8. This is the gut-wrenching, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to let my moans and my groans, my tears, my snot, and my tongues do the work. It's there, right? It's got me through mess after mess after mess because I don't know what to say. I'm at my wit's end, and I want to hit hard on that because he hears you. Those are good times. Strength comes down in those places. I mean, you don't get that with a friend in coffee, right? You don't get that from a counselor. You don't get that from endless talking. You get that, say this with me, endless praying. Endless praying. You get that from endless praying. Young people, you got to get might in your spirit. Jarrell, I know I pick on you a whole lot, but I love you. I do. I love you a lot. All right? Say this with me. The devil is a liar. All right? Shame is a liar. Rejection is a liar. Condemnation is a liar. Get that in your spirit because you have been accepted in the beloved. And I want to talk about his blood for just a minute. His blood is that rolled out red carpet, right? Rolled out red carpet. It says, come to the throne It's a throne of grace, right? It's a throne of mercy. It's a throne of power, righteousness, and show me your glory. It's a throne of glory. It's a throne of glory. If you go there, he's going to start showing you things, all right? Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I think we've been working with the youth. Obedience, bringing unity, courage, and then you come to boldness. We can boldly go before that throne. All right? We can boldly go before that throne. It goes back to that Eddie Murphy horrible example, right? But I can use Danielle's daughter, who still lives with us, as another example, Kelsey. She uses everything in her house. She pays for nothing. And I did ask her a question once. How do you think that gets paid? That gets paid. Water automatically just ends up there, or this ends up being there. Well, it's here, and all you have is mine. You hear me? All you have is mine. Love her to death, right? It's going to be some tough love down the road, but everything he has is yours, right? You just got to learn how to grab a hold of it, all right? All right. Revelation 4, I don't know if I gave this to you. He's going to meet you with the spirit of prayer. It says, I saw a door standing open in heaven. Everybody lift your hands. And the first voice I heard was a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold. Everyone say behold. Behold, that means we're in a realm of revelation. Every time you see behold in scripture, you're in a realm of revelation. You go ahead and put them down. Did you know that? Behold, realm of revelation. Behold, realm of revelation. So eyes are open. A throne is set in heaven, and the one that sat on the throne, and he who sat was like jasper and sardius stone in appearance, with an emerald rainbow surrounding him. And around the throne are 24 thrones, and on them sit elders robed in robes of white, sitting on thrones crowned with crowns of gold. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, seven lamps of fire burning, which are the seven spirits of God. And around the throne, in the midst of the throne, are the living creatures full of eyes. And they do not rest day or night. What are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus took you to Revelation 4 for the foundation of prayer. For the foundation of prayer. It doesn't start with asking for things, but looking at someone. It doesn't start with the list. It starts with eyes open. Prayer is not wishing, and prayer isn't hoping. Prayer is knowing. Knowing. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be where he is, and he wants you to do what? Look at him. Look at him. Prayer is knowing. So I believe God wants to usher all of you into the throne room today. All right? We're going to do communion. Will you grab the table? He wants to knock off the door of shame. Let's be honest. I tell the youth this all the time. If we're ever going to get anywhere, we have to be honest. All right? If you do something publicly, it's giving him glory. It's giving him glory. Anybody that has any shame, come up. We'll get you prayed for today. Anybody that needs religion called out of you, come up today. Anybody that needs bondage broken off of you, let's get rid of it today. And he wants to call out all the lies of the enemy that you guys have been going on and believing your whole life, all right? You're growing, right? You threw the lies out, and then now what are you doing? You're replacing them with truth. Like, Daniel, you like set the mood today. You're filling your cup with truth. You're filling your cup with truth. He wants to shift your prayer life into a new place.